Okay then. Right, we're in another podcast, and this is another place. Where are we today? Cement Works in Hope. I need to do this, get it right. And we have Gray and Holly. Mm-hmm. So, over to you.
Going to be a long conversation. Wait a second, see that.
Okay, so my name's Holly Camish. I'm a fundraising consultant for the National Trust in the Midlands. And I've been at the Cementworks this morning talking to local businesses about the National Trust and why they might want to get involved with what we're doing in the Peak District. There's lots of really exciting work that's going on, so it's been a pleasure to talk to people today.
Yep, so it's new to you. Is it a new type venture?
Yeah, it is. It's new for us in the Midlands to begin to talk more to local businesses and local business people about how they might want to be involved with the National Trust. We think that we have a lot of brilliant benefits for people, so we want people to come out and enjoy what we're doing and you know, get to know our places that are local to them. So yeah, we've got, you know, a number of places in the Peak District that we think businesses would, you know, want to come out to and get involved with and help us to achieve, you know, some of the brilliant work that we're doing.
So why, okay, first thing about National Trust is when I first met you, half an hour ago, is age. If I have a National Trust card, I must be over 60.
Yeah, that's a general perception, but we are really, really wanting to attract younger people. So we do have a lot of work for younger people at the moment, and that's a real sort of focus, and a big part of our agenda is to attract younger people and different people. We know that in the Peak District, a lot of people nearby live in big cities and might not have access to green places, and we want to help people to find those green places and to come out and enjoy them and you know, feel the benefit, you know, of those places. So yeah.
Do you live in the Peak District?
I live in Lytton, not far from Tyneswell. Yes,
right.
Love it here. I deliberately moved here just because of the environment, absolutely, and to be with my partner.
Oh, right, okay. That sounds good. You moved from where to where?
I've been all over the place in my life, but I was living in Glossop when I first kind of moved to the Peak District, and then moved to somewhere even more rural, which is why I like Lytton so much.
Yeah. It's funny because the National Trust, I know Longshore very well, and places like that. You know, they've obviously marketed it. So is it? I mean, you know, it's changed a lot, the Peak District, in the last 10 years. There's a lot more people. I mean, even Lytton is, you know, has its own, you know, features and things like that. It's changed. Is it something you want to promote to hundreds and thousands of people coming in? How does it work? How do you think it
Please.
Should work? Go on, let's throw it in. Well, that's exactly. Yeah, go on. Right. Yeah. I'll throw that one in.
Yeah, well, obviously we have busy moments when a lot of people want to come to our places. So a lot of families come out when it's Easter and they want to come and do the trails at Longshore and at Islam, down in the White Peak. But what we hope to do is to promote more of a sort of regular visit, you know, in quieter moments. So throughout September and October are typically quieter months at our properties. So if we can, you know, attract different people at those times, then it spreads the load a little bit. But no, we want people to be able to find those really, really quiet spaces so that they can come and, you know, just enjoy the peace and tranquility, but not, you know, necessarily en masse. But yeah, I mean, our biggest priority is to look after those places, so to make sure that they are in good condition always for the future generations.
So those, these, Congrey, and you tell me, what National Trust places have you been to?
Well, that's where I was actually. I've been to lots of places, but I couldn't tell you which ones are National Trust. we go all over the place, but I couldn't actually say, oh, this is a National Trust property, or this is... This is one or the other. I used to get involved a lot with National Trust and also English Heritage when I used to do Viking reenactment. So it's great to stay in some of the properties there, but that's more tends to be more English Heritage, I think, than the National Trust. National Trust, I think, in my view, tends to be more outdoors kind of places.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, actually, because I think a lot of people think of National Trust and think of the great big mansion houses, and I think historically that's what we've been perhaps most well known for. But we have a piece in our strategy, which is called Land, Outdoors and Nature. And we really want our countryside places and the land that we look after to be, you know, what we're best known for. So it's really interesting that you say that. So we're obviously doing something right.
Yeah, well, you can't lob in Viking reenactment without some comment. So,
well, take a look at me.
You look like this is a podcast, so you don't know what you look like. He looks like a Viking.
Most people say that gratefully. Well, yeah. It's my ancestry, so I should think so.
Well, yes, it's that's. I mean, like, it's things taking that English heritage or National Trust, something, you know, they probably do merge those two together. Mm. So you have a. Not an identity problem, but something you do. You regard it as competition, or do you regard it as being something that you can work?
I think. I mean, some of our places as well. We work together. So at Hardwick Hall, for instance, the what we call the New Hall, which isn't all that new at all, but the New Hall is run and looked after by the National Trust. But then the Old Hall, which is the ruins, is English Heritage. So we work closely with English Heritage as well. Mm. So yeah, although we offer similar things, it's a similar membership structure as well, membership organisations. I think we do try and, you know, pitch ourselves slightly differently and thinking a lot about the outdoors and, you know, nature conservation and looking after woodlands and all of those sorts of things as well is what we do.
Because, well, if I joined the National Trust, would I get a discount for the English Heritage, or do I?
No. Well, it would if you went to Hardwick. So if you come to Hardwick, yeah.
So
if you're an English Heritage member, you can get into Hardwick, yeah, and vice versa.
Well, that's interesting. So is that the only place you know you do that, or
it's the only place that I can think of? But I'm sure there are probably others.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, the way you would put it over out there, you know, because I said it, people are confused by all these organisations. One, I'm thinking English Heritage and Viking reenactments, and then you've got, you know, woodland in. I mean, do you work with people like the, what do you call them? They're, because we've met them before, Derbyshire Wildlife Trust.
Yeah, the Wildlife Trusts, yeah. We do, I think there are instances where we work quite closely with other organisations like the Wildlife Trusts, mm-hmm. And also organisations like RSPB. So we have the Eastern Moors Partnership in the Peak District, which is National Trust and RSPB working together.
Oh, right. Because I know the Eastern Moors because they do all the dry stone walling.
Mm.
And they just put dry stone walls up where I don't know why they would. It's like historically they've been, you know, pens and things like that, but they're in the remotest places where there's no livestock. But it's restoring the walls. But so Eastern Moors, you're right. So the other one is the Moors for the Future. No, that's they're doing the reseeding on Kindon and rewilding and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all these things, is that something you? What do you promote? How do you do that? Do you promote the National Trust or do you promote the woodland? I mean, give me some idea.
Well, I think it's always, we're trying always to talk about our cause and what we're hoping to achieve. So if we had an appeal, for instance, like we have at the moment, the Woodlands for the Future appeal, we would be talking about the sort of impact of that appeal and what it would hope to achieve. And although it's National Trust promoting that appeal and, you know, hopefully encouraging people to get involved with it, you know, we're looking after these places for other people. It's right. Not to kind of, you know, further our own glory or whatever. We're doing it for everyone. That's our strapline. Right. And that's really what we stand for. We want as many people as possible to be able to enjoy these places. So, yeah, thinking about the future and, you know, hopefully people will want to be involved with that.
Right. So if people, they got to buy into it.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about earlier about climate change and things, which is close to my heart, so you know, but it's become the big thing that they talk about, and it's polarized people.
Mm.
I saw a great one today. It was a picture of Trump and Greta Thunberg, and it says, "I am great against Trump," and then underneath it says, "I am Greta." Just sort of, you know, they're talking about, you know, how people, you know, they perceive that, what are they doing, and one, they're polar opposites.
Mm.
So, how do we bring it all together then? Is that Or do we want to? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think not everybody wants to go into the countryside. But I think we should make sure that we are looking after the countryside for people and for nature. And I think when people do get out and about into green spaces and have that time to sort of reflect and, you know, they sort of get rid of the stresses of everyday life, I think people really do feel like they're coming together. Right. So, yeah, perhaps our green spaces will be what brings people together, I don't know.
Well, that's great. I mean, we could do it, but, you know, like these things, people go out. All the people I know are outdoor people. That's just because you're obviously a city. But are we trying to get people who've never been? I've been living in Sheffield, you know, who've never been to the Peak District, the people there.
Mm.
So how do we want to bring the increase back to our numbers and things? How does it work? Do we want people introduced to people, the green ideas, or are they quite happy to be seen that there are custodians like the National Trust looking at it, and they're just happy that they're doing a job, or is there a message?
I think if we want more people to value green spaces, they've got to have that experience of being in a green space.
Right.
So, I think it was David Attenborough who said you can't care for something that you've never experienced, and you won't protect something if you don't care for it. So we need to kind of make sure that people do have that access to green spaces. And the National Trust in the Peak District are doing some brilliant work with engaging local communities and making sure that people do feel confident to be able to come out into the Peak District National Park and, you know, experience something that they may have never experienced before. Just walking through a woodland, or, you know, kind of noticing the nature that's around you and just kind of feeling more confident and more able to do that, I think is a really important part of our work at the moment.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I'm just thinking, you know, when people, do they have to experience it? I haven't heard the thing about Attenborough, but if he says something like that, then people will listen, for example, so maybe they will go out. So do we have a local get, you know, what do you, how would, Attenborough obviously is a, do we use him, or do we have a more of a local?
There are probably lots of local champions of the Peak District and people that, you know, can talk really much more eloquently than I can about, you know, their love for the Peak District, and it'd be brilliant if there are people like that. We would love to know them and bring them on board.
I come to people I'm running around, or you meet local characters or people. They talk, at will, and people come along. we're laughing at the moment because I'm just thinking, you know, local villages have little characters. Mm. We'll pick on Lytton Grey.
Oh yes.
What has it got there? The Red Lion. Everybody knows the Red Lion.
Indeed.
Okay, and then it's the well dressing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's on the top of a hill.
Wakes night.
A Wakes?
There's a Wakes festival tied in with the well dressing every year.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Is that Wakes as in not working Wakes? How does that?
I'm not sure of the origin of it. But we have it's basically a village fun day where we have all sorts of tug of wars and competitions and fairs and a barbecue and things like that. I'm not sure of the origin of the Wakes, though, being an incomer, as I still am even after all this time.
This is another idea of people feeling part of something, you know, because you feel like an incomer. I think the Irish call it blow-in. I think it's fantastic. And I went to somewhere in Ireland where we stayed, and there were people there, but, you know, said, "Are you local?" He says, "No." I said, "No. I thought this. And they said, "Oh, we came from a village 3 miles down the road, and their blow-ins, they weren't local."
Wow.
So it's an idea. So Lytton has a festival.
Yes, every year. And the Tideswell has a food festival every year. But the Lytton one we get more involved in, obviously because it's our village. Tried to get involved in the village generally and in the local area, and volunteer to do things. And the village hall has a cake and bake thing, and I do a lot of baking over there. The first year I went in there, I took a load of little creme patissiere pastries and things like that, and I've taken donuts, and the WI women behind the counter all looked at it and said, "Oh, that's a bit modern." So trying to
a donut is modern,
which was quite fun. I've also been involved with lots of community things. It's very much a community feel. Over in Tideswell, there's a community orchard where a couple of years ago we planted 20-odd heritage apple trees in an area, and we've been looking after that and promoting that. And in October there's a apple pressing day where people can take their apples and they use an apple press and take away the juices from it. So it's nice to get involved in things like that. And right. It's placed in, you tend not to get involved in things like that in more urban surroundings, I find.
Is it, do you, I mean, do people gravitate towards these things in Lytton? I'm presuming that it's a competition with Wardlow and you compete with Tideswell, or do you?
Oh, it's all every Wakes Night and Well Dressing is a competition to some extent,
right?
You know, but it's a very friendly kind of, because we get people coming from all of them will come and enjoy it. It's not like they you know, oh, I can't go to that one because it's there. So it's all a good community feeling, but it's a good community. And not quite antagonism, but it's a competition which is quite fun as well.
Yeah, so it's got a. I mean, I could imagine sort of, you know, Tideswellians marching up the hill to Lytton or something like that.
Coming in to do the tug of war one end of the rope.
Yeah. That's not competition. I don't know what it is. You know, it's a very long rope.
But it's all good because it all brings people together and benefits the community.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. So, is it the community sits down and communities and you know the. We don't necessarily need, and I go on the nanny state idea, you know, we don't need a national trust to say we have a community, but it's equally, why not, can't they work together?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so Lytton itself, we'll concentrate on Lytton, because I haven't been there for a while, but I went there quite recently. It's at the top of a hill.
Yes.
It's on top of a hill, I know, because I have to run up to it, or you cycle up to it, or something like that. The village atmosphere, there's a blueprint for a successful village. What do you think is a blueprint? This will be really good, interesting from different perspectives. Well,
apparently there's a legal definition of one, because there's a village green, and if you have a registered village green, which again this is kind of new to me, there's various things that like a duck pond and a village green that they should have to be registered as such, but it seems a bit strange to me, but it's certainly a nice environment to forgotten where you were, what you asked, actually.
What's the definition of a village?
Yeah, a difficult one, that, wasn't it? Because where you go from hamlet to village to town to I don't know what makes it.
Right. Well, I don't know the answer. I mean, but is it coming through, you know, church, maybe? A village.
Well,
pond.
We got two of them in Tideswell. Lytton.
Two in Tideswell and Lytton.
Two churches in Lytton and a pub and a school and a village hall.
Right.
And a community shop, which is also, again, coming together of people working, volunteering in a shop where one wouldn't have been, where a national wouldn't have put a shop in. It's a very nice place.
Right. So these are things, because I work quite a lot with, you know, the Peak District planning and things like that. You know, their definition, they have a blueprint for a village, which is a successful village has to have X, Y, and Z. I don't think it's quite so prescriptive.
Mm-hmm.
So something like a village, Lytton is small. I don't know, what's the population of Lytton? A
couple of hundred people.
Six. 600. We've got a prompt here.
It was told you.
600. It's gone from 200 to 600. Excellent.
Well, I say expansion. I'm getting involved in community people with people, but I don't necessarily have a lot to do with people. If that sounds strange, I'm quite a. I keep to myself sort of person, so that's why I wouldn't know the things like that, whereas other people who do talk to absolutely everybody might understand more fully the number of people in the village.
But yeah, you're all part of the community there.
Absolutely.
So it's not
whenever true. Anything needs doing, village hall, when they want the stuff putting up for the wakes night, when the barbecue, I spent a few years, we had barbecue, and I spent every 3 or 4 hours on the barbecue getting up to my elbows in charcoal and fire, which is great because I love blacksmithing. It's one of the things I do with the Vikings. I just loved it, and then they stopped it, and they now outsource it to a local butcher's, which is a shame, really. But anything like that, we get involved in the community stuff and get you roll your sleeves up.
To a local butcher, I'm hearing, not to a Waitrose or
no,
right? Okay,
no. Yeah, local butchers in Bakewell.
Okay, right. So it does have a spread. Mm. I mean, Hardwick Hall, you know, that sort of. I'm just thinking about the areas, National Trust, you know, these sort of things, how these things, you know, how you associate them with, or associate them with. Yeah. So if we take a National Trust, we talk about Lytton as a village. What's your favourite part of the Peak District? that what would you want to promote?
My favourite part of the Peak District. Well, I really love Island Park down in the White Peak, which is a National Trust property. But we like to say that that is the National Trust place with the best view from a tea room, because when you're sat out and you sit on the terrace at Island Park, you've got the most wonderful view of Thorpe Cloud, and just absolutely beautiful. I think it's just one of the things I love the most about the Peak District, and I don't live in the Peak District, but have come out to, you know, to walk and to explore for most of my life in the Peak District. And the thing that I absolutely love the most is that you can park your car in a car park somewhere and walk for a couple of miles and just see nothing but beautiful landscapes and trees, and you know, can hear the birds. And I just think that's the most wonderful thing, is it just seems to me anyway, as an outsider, it seems to kind of absorb the visitors. I think there are moments, aren't there, where there are sort of honeypot sites like Castleton where it gets really, really jam-packed. But I think if you can explore further afield, you do find those quiet spots, and you know, you get the magical moments where I lived in Sheffield for a little while, and we went out one evening. It was in the winter, so the sun was setting sort of around 4 o'clock. It was quite cold, and just the clouds were hanging so low in the valleys, and you could just look across, and it was just the most wonderful, magical view ever. And I think, yeah, just to find those sort of moments and really kind of cherish them is special.
Was that something like from Stanage or somewhere? But where were you?
I think we were at the other edge of Kerber. Sort of Kerber edge
towards Chatsworth.
We were looking down towards Chatsworth.
Is that thing like the Washington Monument?
Right near there.
We were talking about inversions. People, because I just assumed everybody knew what an inversion was. When you run early in the mornings, you've always got inversions. But then somebody says, "Oh, well, no, we've no idea."
No.
Yeah, that's because they hadn't ventured out. They just live in a foggy village. And they didn't realise, you know, the sun's out.
If you got high.
High up. We get this time of year, where are we now? October. You often get it. Mm-hmm. You only really get up in the morning and so on. It has a unique appeal. This is what I was kind of getting at. The Peak District is the Peak District, the Lake District is the Lake District, and so on. And one of the biggest issues that I have particularly is that people try and put the same message on across for each place, you know. They argue that the Peak District is competing with the Lake District, for example, or the Cheviot, and they've all got different appeals, and they have unique problems. And how do you deal with them is the question, I think, in terms of moving forward. You know, we all want a nice environment, but how do we manage it? And do we trust larger organisations? I mean, I don't know, how big is, what sort of National Trust, how big is it?
It's big.
Is it? Right, go on.
Yeah, we have a lot of places, we own a lot of land across the whole of England and Wales and Northern Ireland. But we do always try and work at a local level as well. So all of our properties look after their own finances, so they raise their own money locally, and you know, the money that they raise locally is spent locally. So if you're a visitor to Island Park, you buy a cup of tea in the tea room with the best view, and you buy something in the shop, the money stays there and is spent there, so you know that you're supporting that local place, which I think is nice. It doesn't just go into a big pot to be spent, you know, goodness knows where. So I think that visitors can feel like they are having an impact on their local place when they go and visit. So hopefully that helps people to feel like they're a little bit more connected locally.
That's an important message, isn't it? It's not just going into a massive national,
which I think a lot of people think is what happens. You know, when you do buy something from the shop, or you know, you put some money into a donation box, which you know we try and encourage people to do. That money is all being spent locally, and you know, on good causes. So looking after things like the woodlands that people can go out to visit, or looking after the historic collections. Making sure that the buildings are watertight. All of our property is held inalienably, or most of our property is held inalienably. So we can't just sell it if we need to raise extra cash. So we, you know, we are trusted to look after that forever. We have to make sure that we have ways of raising that cash to look after it.
And there we are. We've got a phone.
Back to work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, well, that's good. Actually, I'll use that as a nice...
I didn't think I had signal here.
Excellent. Well, we are in the middle of the Peters. I've been encouraging that we do have signals here. Okay, excellent. Well, that's... Actually, we're already... I say this every time. Anyway, it's 25 minutes. Excellent. We'll see how that goes. I'm going to shut it off now. And so that's good. Thanks to Holly and Gray.
Thank you.
Thank you.